Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Dropship Podcast. John Warren here with a solo episode, another solo episode. I've been doing a few of these lately, and in this episode, I'm back with another website teardown. So a website teardown is where I walk my way through a live and operating high-ticket dropshipping business, in this case, one called Next Fireplace, and share my thoughts on the niche, the website, what the business appears to be doing, etc., etc., and talk about what I think's working, what I don't think's working, what I would recommend, what I might do if it was my sort of site. And so it's a really, these episodes are a really great way for you to get some insight with an actual example into how these businesses work and what you should or shouldn't be doing. So whether you've got an existing high-ticket dropshipping business that you're already operating, or whether you're thinking about getting into it, there's something for you in this episode for sure. So before we dive into it, big thanks goes out to Jesse, who volunteered his site for this teardown. And of course, you'll find the URL for the store that I'm talking about in the show notes. This is a video episode on Spotify, so there's actually video of me walking through this site. So if you can watch a video while you're listening to this, that will probably be super cool for you. You'll still get value listening along, but go to Spotify, you'll find the video there. It's a video episode. Or you can head over to our YouTube channel and find the video episode there as well, and you could also watch it there if you so choose. Without further ado, let's dive into the website teardown. Here we're on the website. So Next Fireplace, obviously, as you can see, and from the name, fairly obvious, is a business that sells fireplaces, fire pits, grills and smokers, and has a range of brands based on the US market. And look, a bit of feedback, you know, from the business owner, and I guess part of the motivation behind me looking at this, this site's been online for a reasonable amount of time now. It's not brand new. It's been online for a reasonable amount of time now. The owner, Jesse, is struggling a little bit with getting sales and conversions, and certainly isn't yet where he would like to be with the site. And so part of the motivation of getting me to have a look at it was, of course, to see if I would, you know, have any thoughts about why that's the case, what might be the cause of that, and potentially some options around what could be done to improve results or returns for the business. So as always with these things, when you're running one of these sort of businesses and you're not seeing the return that you'd like to see, there can be a range of reasons for that. Sometimes it is just one thing not quite working properly. Sometimes it's a combination of things. And so of the things that it's going to be in the beginning, which is what we're going to work through over the next couple of days, is it's going to be the niche, something that's happening on the website, and so niche also includes competition and all that sort of thing, or the way that traffic's been generated. It's generally your issues are going to lie in one of those areas, or a combination, or all of those areas. And so talking through this a bit over the two sessions we'll do with this business, I think we're going to get to the nut of the nuts of sort of what's the nuts and bolts of what's really causing those problems. So firstly, I mean, my thoughts on this particular market. Now, I'll say that I know people selling products that are on this site that have been doing so for years and, you know, have been doing pretty well, you know. So things like fireplaces, we've got different types of fireplaces and gas fireplaces and electric fireplaces and different types of heaters out here and, grills, smokers, etc. I mean, I know people that sell
those things and have sold them whatnot. So it's certainly they're products that you can sell. Now, I will say that this is not my favorite approach to picking a market or a niche to sell. I'm not generally a big fan of markets like this that are not kind of enthusiast driven. And so homewares, which fireplaces kind of fits in as a homeware, right? Particularly, and I'm going to go, I mean, the business is next fireplace. So I'm going to focus on the fireplaces first. Tends not to be a enthusiast driven market. And so in Dropship Breakthrough in our course, and if you listen to the Dropship podcast, you'll hear us talk about some of our criteria for choosing a niche, choosing what products you're going to sell, et cetera. And one of those is an enthusiast based market. So people don't get passionate about fireplaces, right? People often do not care about what brand of fireplace they have or insert product that is not a homewares product, right? And so while that doesn't mean you can't sell them, it does mean that they can be harder to sell, right? They can be harder to give people a unique experience, and they tend to be larger markets with bigger players in them when they're not enthusiast-based. And so fireplace, I mean, the good thing about this niche is that it's a big one, right? Fireplaces, fire pits, all of these things in the US, this is a big space, right? And so there are lots of customers out there, and there's a lot of money being made there. But the flip side of that usually is that there's also a lot of people in there trying to sell those. So, I mean, One of the questions you've got to look at, if you are considering a market like this or a niche like this, you've really got to be clear on your competition research, and you've got to be able to really find your space in there. And so now you could come back and say, well, earlier in this session already, John, you said you know people who are successful in this space and whatnot. True. And the people I know in this space who have been successful started like 7 years ago or something like that, right? Let's say something like that. And you can't just say, well, I'm going to go in and replicate what they're doing and expect the same result, because that's not how it works, right? If you want to get into a market that's established, et cetera, you've kind of got to take your own path. You can learn things from other people and whatnot, but you've got to take your own path. You've got to present a unique your own take on it, if you like. And so I think we'll talk about how Jesse is or isn't doing that with this particular site as we continue through, of course, and start looking through the site. But I think that's a really important thing to consider. That's the case in any market, but it's sometimes harder to do that. And you've got to think about it more when you're in a market that is not enthusiast-based. Fireplaces is a big market. And then to me, I think one of the ways that this kind of getting a bit distracted or a bit distracting is including grills and smokers with it, right? So fireplaces and fire pits. Now, I'll circle back to this, but this can potentially be a distraction, right? So grills and smokers and outdoor cooking is in and of itself a massive market with some big players. I mean, you got a barbecueguys.com, for example, if you want to see somebody who's really nailing that space, right? I mean, I think they're still going, but anyway. So this and this, to me, do not automatically go hand in hand. And so if they don't go hand in hand, then they don't have any place being on the same site together. Like, I mean, with an exception. So the exception might be if you're in a space where, let's say that it was that sort of non-enthusiast, big kind of market space, homewares, something like that. There are a few other spaces where this is true. Fitness kind of springs to mind, and I think we're going to do a website teardown on another fitness-based site in the not-too-distant future. But it's big, lots of competition, products, they're all, not so much driven by enthusiasm or anything like that. So what you can do to make that work is to find an identifiable ideal customer within there and appeal to them with that product. So rather than saying, I'm going to go after anybody who might be into a fireplace or a fire pit, I'm going to focus on part of that. There's an ideal customer in there who I think is going to be interested in a fireplace or a fire pit. And because they're looking to do this thing, right? So like for this example, that might tie into a particular type of design they're doing. Or it might be that like, you know, if you might be say, well, I know that some people would be interested in having an outdoor fire pit. They're interested in outdoor entertaining. And so they're going to have, they might want an outdoor fireplace, which in the US is a thing for people who have outdoor entertainment spaces. They might have a fire pit over here. They might have a grill or an outdoor kitchen set up over there. And they probably also might have some outdoor lounges and things in the same space, et cetera, right? So that person, the ideal customer there is the person who's building that outdoor space, right? And so they might want the fireplace and they might want the fire pit and they might want the they might want an ethanol fireplace. They might want a wood-burning fire pit that they're going to use sometimes over there. And then they're going to have the outdoor kitchen with the grills and the and a smoker and, like, you know, probably some refrigeration device built into the bench and all of that sort of thing over there, right? And then they're going to – so – you build your site around that person. And yes, you've got some of the fireplace stuff, but you don't have the whole market on your site, right? Because you're just trying to appeal to this one person. And maybe there's a different customer profile for the person who's doing fireplaces on the inside, right? I find these days that's the best way to attack those really big markets out there is rather than just trying to be like the same as older sites who focus on the product type and one product type and are probably nailing it. You can't really come in and just do exactly the same thing and expect that you're going to take much market share away from them. So your answer then can be rather than saying, I'm going to make a site just about fireplaces, make a site that has fireplaces but appeals to a specific person who might buy fireplaces but might also be buying other things, right? That ties into their same interest. And so that is the only circumstance where I would have on a site like grills and smokers and fireplaces and fire pits is if I said, right, the person who I'm targeting, somebody who wants grills and smokers and is going to be using them along. I mean, fire pits obviously kind of ties into that a bit better, but not so much all of the fire pits and that. The heaters, once again, this could tie into that as well, you know, outdoor heating, other outdoor heating, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's some things going on here, but if that's sort of the direction that you were thinking of going in, then you have to build your whole site around that experience. So going off the back of that then and moving into like the site itself, like when I look down Jesse's homepage here, I mean, pretty much the, you know, the page is all about fireplaces. And, you know, if I'm somebody who's thinking about throwing down, you know, $5,000 on a really fancy grill and I come to a site and all I'm seeing is like, you know, this sort of feminine design living space here. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way at all, but like, if I'm a bloke who's buying a grill and I come here and land on this, I'm not feeling instantly at home because one, I don't see a grill at all. I don't even see anything outdoors here, right? It's all indoors. Whereas if I'm going to be like, I'm going to jump off to another site and I'm going to go to a competing site that for the grills and the barbecues, you know, barbecueguys.com. I land here. I'm like, oh, yeah, right on, right? Like, now, yes, not landing on the homepage generally, but I'm just saying, just I'm using this as an example to talk about the difference when you're appealing to an ideal customer, right? If I land here and I'm interested in a grill, and let's say I went to a product page first, most people aren't buying on their first visit, right? They're going to come back to your site more than once. The second time they come back, they probably are going to land on your homepage because they saved your, they remember the name of your site or whatever. They come back here. But if I'm looking at this site, what do I see? Man, this site's all about grilling and barbecuing and whatnot, and that's all I'm interested in, right? At this particular point in time. And I see all these things. Yeah, these guys are the people for me if I want to buy a barbecue or a smoker, right? Whereas here, I don't get that at all from this site. And you can't, this is why we talk so much in Dropship Breakthrough on our podcast, et cetera, about like building your business around an ideal customer. It's because the more in today's market, and you know, like 10 years ago, could you just slap any old shit on a website all jumbled together and make heaps of sales? Yes, you could. Is that the case today? No, it's not. I'm not saying the odd person here or there doesn't do it, or there's some out there example of it, whatever. But to do this repeatedly, you can't just do that, right? You've got to build an experience that is tailored around one person and their interest. So what's presented on the homepage here, in my opinion, definitely does have a consistent feel to it. And I think generally speaking, the designing is good. I don't like the theme. Everybody knows I don't like the Shoptimized theme on Shopify. But, you know, I mean, this is a pretty clean, as far as this theme goes anyway, little website. I mean, it's nice design, colors make sense, et cetera, et cetera. I don't mind it at all. But it doesn't all fit together. I'd say that's something that needs to be addressed here is what actually is the direction of the site. And I know sometimes if you're there and, you know, it's not quite working for you yet, there can be a temptation to say, well, I'm just going to find some other types of products and I'm going to test them out. And I'm going to, you know, hope that something sticks and then I can sort of slow move in that direction a little bit. And I think that once again, that's a difficult proposition because things aren't going to stick unless you're trying to do them properly. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's what I'd say. Moving down here, I mean, things that I think are working well here, like I say, I mean, there's nice imagery here on the homepage, I think, which could speak to somebody. I don't think it's necessarily the customer for all of the products that are offered, but it could speak to somebody. I like there's some like thought here towards, you know, the business's USP or some of the good things about this. You know, once again, just some things to keep in mind. It's really important what you put on your homepage that you've got your spelling right. You know, once again, it may seem like a tiny gripe, but you know, this middle one here, guaranteed, is not spelt right, and lowest is, you know, missing a letter. You know, it just doesn't. It's consciously or subconsciously, that sort of stuff just reduces confidence a little bit in what a business is doing. If you don't get the basics right, so you've always got to triple check anything along these. Look, I've done it too. Don't get me wrong. I had an image up for one of my businesses for like 12 months, and the title on the image had a misspelling in it. And I didn't even know it was missing a word. It was supposed to be how to da 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 da, and I missed the word too, and it just said how da 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 da. It didn't even make sense. I did that. It was like up for like, I don't know, eight or 9 months or something before I realized, and like I felt deeply ashamed when I noticed. But it happens. But once again, you got to fix that sort of stuff. So homepage, least important page on your website, nearly. But this one looks fine. You know, not too much to say here, I wouldn't think. So let's move along. You know, all of the things that you need to see or hear about us, contact us. I mean, that's all cool. You know, I think it is good to be talking throughout your site about the reasons that people might think to buy from you. You know, and that sort of thing. So that's all good. You know, the menu navigation for what's on the site, you know, makes sense. I don't see any issues here. You know, most of the collections kind of seem like a fairly relevant, you know, set of propositions. I would say, though, some of the collections can be quite large. So I think moving in here, and once again, I mean, the most important page is going to be the product page, and we'll get to that for the sort of traffic that Jesse's running to the site. But, you know, collection pages, once again, you come to a collection page like this, and this is where I like to really get people thinking about this. So this collection page, this is the all electric fireplaces or electric fireplaces, right? So in this collection, we've got 159 products. Now, if I'm a customer, right, and I'm in the market for a fireplace, an electric fireplace, and I've come here, how am I finding the right product for me? Like, I mean, I think sometimes as e-commerce retailers, we like to think that, well, what's going to happen is people want to come to my site, and what they want to do is just look at everything on my site. And they want to spend lots of time here and just troll through page after collection page after collection page because my site is so amazing. That's not what people want to do, right? People's time online on individual sites is incredibly short. They want to get down to what they need to get down to, and then they want to get out of there. You don't have long to grab them. And so particularly in the high ticket space, people with money, if I have to fuck around on a site to find what I want, I'm out, right? I'm just out. I don't want to be there. Like if I'm in and I want to buy an electric fireplace, right? If I'm seriously in the market, I'm going to know what size it needs to be. I'm going to have an idea of what I want it to look like. Do I want one with the fake logs in it, like some of these, or do I want one that's just, you know, just like more like flames? I'm just trying to find some examples. There's some examples like just with the rocks. I'm not technical on the terms of these sort of things, but there's different designs. So I may know a brand. I may not know a brand. I may know, do I want a recessed one? Do I want one that sits out a bit in front? you know, so there's different types of, there's actually subcategories of products in a collection like this. And when the collection is just presented like this, it's kind of like, okay, so you're leaving it up to me to look through these products to find the one that works for me. So, you know, nobody is, for starters, open to a range of different sizes. I mean, very few people are going to be coming here going, well, I could get a 36-inch one, or maybe I could get a 48-inch one. You know, like I've just got so much space, I'll just stick them everywhere. They're going to be like, well, the space I want to put it in, this size is going to fit. Like my builder's told me that, or I am a builder and I'm looking for something to put in a home or whatever, right? So it's really important that you give people a way to get to the product that they want as quickly as possible. Now, your search bar absolutely can provide that functionality, and that's good to have, right? You've always got to have that. But you need to be helping people as much as you can on your site get to the product that they need, right? So, I mean, you've got some filtering here by brand, which obviously would help somebody if they knew what brand they were interested in. You also have the branded collections here, which is helpful too. But if I'm somebody who knows I need a 48-inch fireplace and, you know, you've got that here and I've landed on this collection page because it's your electric fireplace collection page, and that could theoretically be one that lands in a search result, right? Ranks in a search result. I don't want to look at 54-inch fireplaces. I definitely don't want to see 26-inch fireplaces. I want to be able to just view the 48-inch fireplace because I don't want to remember I saw this one here and then I scrolled all the way down here and I'm wondering, am I going to see any other ones? Still scrolling. Oh, yeah. Look, there's ones down here. What was the first one I looked at? Where was that? Oh, I've got to go all the way back up here again. Like, it's just a really ineffective way to make somebody shop. And then if they want to compare products or think about those products together, once again, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to come in, I'm going to look at this product. It's a nice looking product. We'll get back to the videos, Jesse. You see this hasn't loaded yet. There should be a video right here, I'm guessing. Is it going to pop up? When's it going to pop up? Thinking, loading, loading. Anyway, I'm going to read about this. And then, oh, there it is. It finally loaded. And then we're going to go back. Now I've got to go back to the collection page. And then I've got to go all the way down here and find another 48-inch one. And then we're going to click into that. And you're going to read about that. And then, oh, wait, what did I read on the last one? And then I've got to go back out here and I've got to find it again. Like, it's just a really inefficient way to force people to shop. This is why, you know, people try and challenge me on this all the time. They're like, oh, no, when I have a collection page, I just have to have products on the page. And the people that sell it to me tend to be the people who are not selling the most products. Whereas when people who have sold the most products in this space tend to say have a different answer. So you need to find ways either to have subcategories or have filters on your collection pages in some way, or provide content on your collection pages that enables people to get to the type of product or the specific product that they need that is going to provide the exact solution they are looking for in as short a time as possible, right? Aside from that, this page has no title, visible title. Like, that's not a good idea either from an SEO perspective. So if we're talking about conversions, you've got to help people get to the product. Like, what is the difference between any of these products? I mean, who knows? What's the difference? Like, really, what features are people looking for when they're buying electric fireplaces? How can you get them to those products that have the features that they want at the size they want, with the design they want, as quickly as possible and in the simplest way? That's what you got to do with your collection pages. And that's for anybody, right? Unless your collection page has like five products in it, maybe that's not such an issue. But when you've got these larger type of collections with this many sort of products in, you really have to find ways, multiple ways even, that you can assist your customer to get to the right product. And if you can do that by including some content on the page, that's even better, because that's going to help your pages to rank in search engines. A page like this has no chance of ranking for anything, right? Substantial, or that it needs to, because there's nothing on here other than a collection of products. So that's certainly some of the ways that I would be improving a page like this. So, I mean, there's a lot of other collection pages. I mean, you know, we can go over and look at some grills, you know, it's going to be a similar thing. Like 64 results in this collection of built-in gas grills. Once again, now if I'm looking for a gas grill, I'm going to be looking for a specific size, or I'm going to have an idea about how many burners I want. Obviously, the you know, the fuel source possibly, you know, and I want to be able to get to those. So once again, I mean, if I want a 5-burner gas grill, I don't need to look at a 22-inch teppanyaki gas grill. That's just superfluous to my experience, you know, entirely. And so you've got to give people ways to sort of get in and find these products as quickly as possible with your collection pages. So that should always be your guiding light. Have content, make them as helpful as possible, get people to the right product as quickly as possible. Like, you've got to grease that whole journey as much as you can. So that's that. We're going to dive. Let's dive now, talking about collection pages. Let's dive now into... we'll go back into fireplace. This is our next fireplace. Let's look at a product page for fireplaces. So Modern Flames. Yeah, let's go with the Modern Flames fireplace. Let's have a look. All right. So product pages here on Next Fireplace. What do we think? I think there's some... No, I actually don't want that one. I want to find one with a video again. It was this one, wasn't it? Yeah. Look at that video. All right. So product pages on this site. I actually don't mind these product pages. I think there's some good things going on from a conversion perspective on the product pages here, and you know, some things that could be improved as well. So things that I don't mind on here, like I say, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of this theme, by the way. I won't focus too much on the theme, but, nice images, et cetera, et cetera. Always with your product images. If you can ever find ways to make your images appear or have some unique way that your images are presented, like just maybe by manipulating the images you get from your suppliers, et cetera, et cetera. But there's some nice product images here. That's always a good one. Or even if you put what a lot of people will do is they'll put the same first image on their products as their supplier and every other competitor. So in your ads, you have the same image in your ads. Sometimes if you change it up a little bit, when you run your shopping ads, you can have a different image to everybody else. And that can be a good thing, actually. It makes your ads stand out a little bit, just as a little tip. Doesn't really have anything to do with conversion rate, but on your site, but that can be a good thing to do. So, I mean, it's all pretty, flows pretty smoothly down here, down through this part of the page. I mean, this is the all important part of the page to me. Jesse has done a nice little job here of including some of the benefits that his business offers. So once again, we've talked about this before on these sort of things, but when for a high ticket dropshipping business, you're a reseller. And so part of your job is when a customer comes to your site, like this brand, there are going to be other websites out there that are selling this particular fireplace, right? And so customers will know that. Customers will be comparison shopping, at least a portion of them. And part of the question they have in their mind is, not just is this the right product for me, like once they're satisfied on that, like, yeah, this is the one I want, it looks good, it's the right size, it's got the right features, they then ask, okay, so where am I going to buy it from? So when you're a high ticket dropshipper, you are a reseller, you're not selling products that nobody else is selling usually. So part of what you're persuading people about in your marketing and on your website is why people should buy from you and not the other people who sell this particular product, right? And so that's why you want to get, down to, including some of this information and as high up the page as you can so that you're planting the seeds around these things in the customer's mind. So things like free shipping on all orders, no restocking fees, free returns, finance options available, sales tax. I mean, these are all can be good things to talk about as reasons why people should buy from your business. The thing I would say about them, and this is why competition research is important, is that, and once again, I have no idea whether Jesse's done this or not, so I'm just saying this in general terms, not for the particular circumstances of this site right here, is that whatever you say there, and there's no right or wrong answers, but whatever you say about why people should buy from your business should as much as possible either be different to your primary competitors or be perceived to be different because you use different language, right? So if everyone in your market offers free shipping, then and they all say free shipping, then free shipping is not giving you an advantage, right? It's also not giving you a disadvantage, but it's not creating an advantage for you. It's just that's the minimum. And so you're at the minimum. So yes, you need to communicate that so that people know that you have free shipping and you're not charging, but you can't, some people make the mistake of looking at that as a reason why they're good and people are going to buy from them instead of other people, but it's not. It's just zeroing out if everybody's talking about that. Where you can get a bit more interesting with it is what I just said. Like things can be perceived to be unique that aren't necessarily 100% unique, right, when you're talking about your selling proposition. So, if you talk about or even sometimes just talking about things can give you the perception that you're doing something that other people aren't just because other people aren't talking about it. So, a lot of people might say in their you know, returns policy, which is going to be hidden down the page somewhere on most sites. It's going to be all the way down in the footer, and about 10% of people look at your footer, by the way. So they're going to be looking down there. Now, your returns policy might say no restocking fees, but here's the rub. Most people don't immediately look at your return policy, like when they first join there. So if they don't read your returns policy, they don't know that you don't have restocking fees. They also don't know that you do have restocking fees, but it's not entered their mind, right, necessarily, unless there's somebody who automatically looks out for that sort of thing. Whereas if you go out and you're a site that says you have no restocking fees, then it automatically enters the customer's mind that you don't have restocking fees because you've stated that, and that's one of the first things they've seen. Like from a Google Shopping ad, this is the first place people are going to come and land. They're going to see this. One of the first things they're going to see on this page is that this person has no restocking fees. Now, if no other site that this site is competing with says explicitly no restocking fees in an easy to see place, and a customer is comparison shopping those sites, and each site's getting about 10 seconds of attention, which is roughly attention spans here, then this is going to stick in the customer's mind for this site, but not for any others. Even if those other sites don't have restocking fees, the customer's not going to be sitting there thinking those sites have no restocking fees, but they will be thinking that about this particular site, and that for most people is going to give them a good feeling about this site because they've been explicit about that. You can do the same thing with returns. And so I'm just using that as a example of doing things that give people a perception that what you're doing is different or unique. And sometimes you can do the same thing by using different language. You can do that around returns or whatever. So just always think about that. If you're in a market where it's fairly competitive and a lot of the common things have kind of been done or talked about, like can you position them a little bit differently? Even if they're more or less the same thing, or even if they're things that other people do, but they don't really talk about it, right? Talk about those things and people will associate those things with you more than with your competition, and that will help your conversion rate. So that's one of the things I would say about this, but I don't mind this. I think this is nice. The options here are nicely set out, nice and simple, I think, to add those options. Add to cart's good there. The description area. Well, there is supposed to be a video here, which is not loading. So one of the first things I would say, Jesse, is to find a way to lazy load your videos. In fact, this page is still loading. You can see up here in my browser, the circle is still going around in my page. So there is something blocking this page from loading completely, and it probably is this YouTube video. So in Google's eyes, from a page speed perspective, while everything else on the page loaded fairly quickly, the video didn't, which then makes it look like you've got this big space before the which just looks a bit funny. It's not stopping anybody from buying the product if they want to, but in Google's eyes, you have a page speed problem because this page is still loading. It hasn't even finished loading yet, and I've been sitting here for minutes, right? So that's a bit of an issue. So you can lazy load videos. So in Dropship Breakthrough, in our course, once again, we have lessons on how to do this using code in Shopify, as well as a range of other Shopify theme improvements that relate to SEO that nobody else teaches. And we show you how to do that on a screen from an actual expert web developer for Shopify. There are apps. There's an app, I think, Cozy, Cozy, which can do it for you. Once again, apps aren't the greatest way to do it, but you can basically load YouTube videos in a way such that it loads an image of the video first, and that's all that loads when the page loads, and then when you click on it, it loads the video, and then the video can then play. Whereas the standard Shopify video embed loads the entire video. So like if it's a 2 megabyte video, that means your page size is increased by 2 megabytes just by placing a video on it, which is probably bigger than everything else on the page in a lot of cases. So it adds a lot from a page speed perspective, and that can also feed into a little bit into your ad performance as well, because that will go to things like your page's quality score, which is one of the factors that Google is included when Google determines your ad rank and your page relevance and things like that in the auction for position with ads, which in turn can lead to you paying higher click-through rate, higher CPCs, or being less competitive for position when you get an impression. So just bear that in mind. That's something definitely that needs to be fixed here. Moving down, I mean, this text, I would probably make the text a little bit bigger by probably 2 or 3 points bigger. Bigger is always better when it comes to text up to a point. But, you know, I mean, features, specifications, I mean, it's all laid out pretty good. I mean, yeah, I like this side. It shows you kind of like what they look like that way. Different flame options, you know, I mean, you've got all these things. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Got some links to useful things. That's good. They're loaded on Jesse's hosted on the site, which is good. You don't want to link out to like the supplier's website or something like that for these things. Always make sure you load these off from the file section in your Shopify account, which is happening here. So that's good. So nothing there. Yeah, I like the little features. I mean, so there's nothing massively going wrong aside from that video. There's nothing massively going wrong here. So, you know, what's going to be feeding into necessarily this outside of looking at the whole market. So the final step here is to when you've put together a product page and you think you've done a good job, you know, you've said the things you want to say, you're got a decent looking little description. I mean, once again, I don't know if this is the supplier's description, all of this stuff, but you know, let's assume it's unique for the sake of it. Once you've done a good job and you're like, yep, I think I'm communicating the things I want to communicate, you've then got to go out and measure it against other sites. So like other sites in your market, the other primary competitors for this product, not. And once again, you can look at it from a brand to brand perspective, because once again, your competitors for this brand in total may be different to your competitors for, say, a different Elementi Fire or, you know, the grills, right? Once again, sometimes a bit of a problem with having wildly different product types can be that, you know, a lot of the competitors for the fireplace is going to be very different to the competitors for the grills and smokers. Like, you know, the old barbecue guys over here ain't selling fireplaces for indoors, right? But they are selling grills. And so how your offer and your page stacks up in the fireplace space might be different to how it stacks up in the grill space. And so you may need to have some different approaches across different product types, and you've got to bear that in mind. But once you've got this, you've got to go out and compare your stuff to other people and say, how am I how am I stacking up? Like, do I like, and you can ask yourself and you can put your customer shoes on and say, if I was a customer, like, how would I think, what would I be thinking about? But the next thing you have to do, of course, is really encourage customers to get on the phone with you. So particularly if you think you're having a conversion problem, do whatever you can to get people on the phone. And I don't care if you don't like doing customer service, or if you think you're not good at it, whatever. Like, I mean, this is the most, one of the most important things. Like, a high ticket dropshipping business is a customer service business. It's a marketing and a customer service business. Those are fundamentally the two things that you have to nail, right? And if you nail those better than other people in your market, then you will make more sales. You will not make more sales by having the best website in your market and having shit marketing and shit service, right? That is not what will help you to win. So, you know, I would probably be bringing some of the messaging around the phone number, et cetera, down into here as well. Like, I like to get people, particularly once again, when you're having a conversion, image, issue, try and get people on the phone as much as you can. So tie something to that. So, you know, if you've got like this sort of thing where you're offering people a 3% off discount with a code, rather than just giving them that, you know, why, maybe you could put in here, call us on insert number to get an exclusive discount on this product. And you can still give them the 3% off discount code, like whatever. You're giving it anyway. We could give them something different. But if people can call you in greater numbers, even if it's just for like a month or two or something like that, right? Or if you've got a VA who's helping you with customer service and is answering the phone, whatever, it's fine. You get people on the phone, you can say to them, obviously, answer the questions that they have, serve them in whatever they need, but you can say to them, oh, look, while I've got you here, you know, I mean, you're looking at this product, you're interested in this product. Are you considering buying that product from any other websites? Is there any reason why you wouldn't buy this product from us? Like, just you just ask people and see what they say, because your the people who are in the market to buy the product are the ultimate source of truth on this. Sometimes as marketers and as business owners, it can be hard for us to see past our own sight because we created it, right? And we look at everything once you've been doing this for a while. You look at everything like a marketer, and that's not how your customers look at things. They look at things as somebody who knows nothing about marketing or anything like that, and they're just simply somebody who wants to buy something to solve a problem that they have. And that's the perspective that they're looking at. And it can be tough sometimes to put yourself back in those shoes, which is why it's super helpful to actually be able to talk to people who are right in that space, right then and there in the moment. And you can see what they say. And like, if you ask people the 10 times the question, like 10 different people, the question of, are you looking at buying this from anywhere else? And they all say the same website, then you know who's really like your primary competitor and who's attracting more people than you. And so you can then definitely just focus in on how do you fall short? How can you get ahead? How can you do something more unique or more special than them? And so that's probably something I would certainly be encouraging. Anybody should do that with a new business, should be asking those sort of questions to customers. But certainly in this case, I know Jesse, once again, would like to be making more sales and making more from the traffic he's getting. I think that's certainly something I would be trying to do, is just to like be really big and bold with it, get people on the phone somehow. Think of a way that you can encourage people to call. You know, one of the ways that I've often done that in Australia, where we don't have map pricing in the same way that you do in the US, and so pricing can be a bit all over the place in markets, as in people can advertise things at different prices, is I'll tie my price match guarantee. I'll have like a best price guarantee or something. I'll put it on the product pages in nice, easy to find text, like, seen a better price? Call us on this number, right? And I'm doing that not necessarily because I want a price match. It's because I want to talk to customers, right? And yes, I'll price match them or whatever. And then you set your prices a little bit higher and you'll get a lot of calls, right? A lot more calls. And so it works for that reason. So yeah, that's what I'm going to say here. You know, once again, just some little things like here in the shipping tab. I mean, you've got free shipping. You're already saying up here just that you offer free shipping on all orders. So just say that down here. Like, shipping costs for our business are typically around $15 for accessories, can range up to $350 for large items. However, for a limited time, we're offering free shipping on all products, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to say that. You don't need to prove why free shipping is a good thing at this point. Like, if you're doing it, you're doing it. The customer doesn't care what it costs you to ship the products and how you want to make it sound like you're doing them a massive favor. And you're not doing it for a limited time only. You do it all the time, right? I mean, and your customers will know that, because if somebody comes back to your site five times over a month, they're not seeing you any time where you're not doing free shipping, right? So if you were doing it for a limited time, this is what I don't like as well. People will say, however, for a limited time, we're doing this, but they don't say what the limited time is. So if you don't specify that there is a time limit, what the time limit is, it's not time limited, right? So if you truly want to run a limited time promotion, you have to say for a limited time until X date. This is what creates urgency with the limited time thing. Until the 13th of July, we're offering free shipping. That will give that some oomph and some drive. If you just say, oh, for a limited time, people are like, oh, yeah, when? What? Next year? Next month? Tomorrow? It doesn't have any effect as a urgency building tool. It also doesn't have any effect as an urgency building tool if the time period is more than a week that's going to be running for. You are not going to drive more sales today. So that's what I mean. Unless people are coming to your site and seeing that your free shipping ever ends, then it's nobody believes this sort of statement. And I see people use that sort of statement in all types of reasons for something that is just perpetually there. And once again, this is not me encouraging you to set up a fake timer that resets every week back to the same time again for another week and it just keeps resetting. No, we're not in AliExpress low ticket dropshipping land. We're not doing that. That also is fake, and I don't like that either. So it's also like once again, this may sound a bit harsh, but it is in a sense lying to your customer, right? Now, I'm not even trying to imply that Jesse's a bad person or that anybody else who does this is inherently a bad person, but for most people who have a problem with lying, it all starts from doing it once, doing it again and again and again and again. And I just find that, if you get comfortable lying to your customers about small things, that has the potential to pervade its way into your business. And so I try and avoid it as much as you can. I'd take that out. If you're doing free shipping, just keep it simple. So we're doing free shipping. These are the delivery times. These are delivery times for custom-made stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Just keep it super simple. So, yeah, look, I mean, that's the product pages. I think for this site, once again, about us page, look at how this compares to other sites in your market. Once again, like it goes back to what I was saying at the start. Next Fireplace is dedicated to the outdoor, indoor fireplace industry, but we sell grills and smokers. Like it doesn't really work for somebody who wants to buy a grill or a smoker if they happen to look at that. Whereas if I go over to old barbecue guys over here and, these guys are a bit of a bigger sort of conglomerate, but part of a bigger sort of conglomerate. Let's see. I don't even know if they have an About Us page. Yes, they do. Of course they do. Let's see. You know, if I wanted to learn about these guys, I'd get right in here. We were born to grill, right? I was born to grill, man. I love grilling, right? So, and yes, these guys have been around for a long time. So they're building like 20 years, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. I'm not saying you have to go to that level, but I mean, it certainly does speak a lot more to somebody who's interested in buying a grill, or let's say it was a fireplace equivalent of this, if such a thing were possible, than what you've got here. So like, see if you can build this sort of stuff out a bit, I know a lot of people get into drop shipping and they're like, oh, I just want to be like a faceless person who just sells stuff and makes money from people. And I just don't like, I'm getting into drop shipping because I want to make money and I'm just going to do whatever I can to make money kind of thing. And while I don't fault that thinking, like having that desire, at the same time, you've always got to remember that the businesses that do the best for the longest are focused on the customer, right, and serving the customer. And so if the reason that if you build your business to feel like it's serving you, then it's not going to serve your customer. And so that's just going to once again rub off a lot. So not saying it's easy to craft up things like an About Us page and sort of inject your own personality into it if you have no experience in the market or your place, but you've got to find ways to build that out over time. It doesn't even have to be like a really complex thing. Like it could just be, identifying that you're a part of the business and, you know, put your name on it, things like that. How to add a personal touch to it and these sorts of things. So that's what I'd be thinking about. Now, having a look at this site overall, I'll jump in and see if there's any questions for you guys in a moment. But looking at this site overall, I don't necessarily think that, if Jesse's in a position where he'd like to be driving some more return from the business and from his traffic, my sense is not that it's the way the website is set up, in and of the website setup itself, that is driving a lot of that problem. I mean, I've seen websites that look at a similar level of design and functionalities, this, that make a lot more sales, right? So my assessment at this point would be that the issues here regarding conversion and that sort of thing stems more from the way the business is positioned within its market, or even what the definition of the market for this business is, and the traffic side of things, which we're going to have a look at, obviously, tomorrow in our next live session. I'm going to gonna have a look at that and offer some advice there as well. So, and oftentimes that's the case with high ticket drop shipping, right? I mean, it's you can have a good looking site that appears to have the things on it that it needs to have, and you've definitely done the work there, but it's just not, it just doesn't quite feel like it's working. And that is often the case. What's going on there is an issue with the definition of the market, or under analysis of the competition in the market and how the website's positioned and all of that sort of thing, or just the traffic that's been driven to the site and the way that traffic's been generated is not quite right. And so that pulls down the fact that you've put together a decent website. So I think, for what it is, I think just Jesse's done a pretty decent job to date. There's obviously room for improvement, but I'm looking forward to jumping into the traffic side of this business.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.